Our first lesson for today is from Isaiah, chapter 65, verses 17 to 25. For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating, for I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy, and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall a sound of weeping be heard in it, or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant that lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For one who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth, and one who falls short of 100 will be considered accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, or build children for calamity. For they shall be offering blessed by the Lord and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. But the serpent, its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. The second lesson for day is from John, 20th chapter, verses 1 to 18. Early on the day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter, and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went towards the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? For whom are you looking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Aren't children delightful? I haven't told a children's story in about 10 years, and I forgot. Especially with the little ones, when you ask a question, they always have the same answer: Jesus. And you know what? I love that. So I'm not going to give a sermon today. They already did it for you. Actually, I'm just kidding. Thank you, Earl, for your spirit-filled reading. We had two long passages today, but your patience with our scriptures made sure that they will rest in our minds. So will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So today in our second scripture passage from John, we heard about the foot race between John and Peter and how breathless they peeked into the empty tomb and then raced pell-mell back to where they had come from. They believed, it is true, but did you notice that they saw only an empty tomb? Mary Magdalene, on the other hand, saw an empty tomb and ran to get the other disciples. But notice how she did not stay where she had found Peter and John. Instead, she returned to the tomb and she lingered there weeping, as we often do when we lose someone who we love so much that our sorrow's depth has no bottom. Was it because she lingered that she saw our risen Lord? Or is this what being in Christ is actually like? Or what is being in Christ like? Well, you know what? I think that being in Christ is like being a beautiful flower. And we are all flowers. We are different flowers. Some of us may be tulips. Some of us may be hyacinths. And some may be roses. Nevertheless, we are all flowers. We are different flowers. And yet, even if we are actually the same flower, even if I'm a rose, and my husband sitting over there is a rose. Anyway, the flowers, the roses, the hyacinths, the tulips, they're all colors and all shades. To differentiate one tulip from one another, one hyacinth from one another, one rose from one another. So do you, when you think of yourself, if you think of yourself as a red rose or another flower, and you meet another red rose, do you still think of yourself as unique? Or do you think that you're just the same as that other red rose? That other tulip, that other blue hyacinth. Well, guess what? Even though you are the same color, you are unique, because each pattern of petals and each combination of leaves on a stem are different from one another, just like no two snowflakes are the same. So, like every person of every nation, every person of every faith, every person of every race, we are all flowers, but we are all unique. That means if you come across someone who is different from you, or so you think, rather than thinking of them as a foreigner or someone foreign to you, think of them as merely another flower, or the same flower, but with a different color, or the same flower and color, but as unique as you are, because their petals have a different pattern, and their leaves on their stem are arranged in a different order. Now look at those plants that are all along the windows. There's 8 of them. And I wonder if some of you have already looked in your bulletin and looked at the list of Easter dedications, because on the side of where the cross is, the cross on the page, you might find a little heart. That heart represents the heart of Jesus, the heart of Jesus that was so loving he gave his life for us. And you know, if you notice also all these plants on the windows, they're not plants planted in earth, and they're not even flowers in a vase. They are bulbs with roots, and they have been started in water. And you know what? We as Christians are kind of like those flowers, because God created all those bulbs, and our beloved Savior, Jesus Christ, whose resurrection we celebrate this morning, is the constant gardener. But we, as Christians, have a head start. We have a head start over those people who come from seeds that are planted in the ground. We have a head start because we were started in water. We were baptized in the water of life that comes from the well that does not run dry. But as for those other flowers that grow from seeds and not bulbs, sometimes they are strewn upon the path where they can be plucked away as if by hungry birds. And sometimes they are planted in rocky ground, perhaps. And because we see that their roots do not take in such meager soil, they flounder and wither. And still others are sown among the thorns, the travails of trying to grow among the thistles and weeds causes the life to be choked out of them. And for each of those seeds that have been planted, that is a tragic ending. But the ones that are planted in the good soil, like those bulbs in the windows, they need deep, rich soil in order to be planted. And they find it because God plants and the constant gardener tends. Like us who already have faith, we already have roots because they were first set in water. You know, sometimes I think Peter and John, who ran neck and neck, looked into the tomb, are like those seeds who are planted in rocky soil. Yes, they saw the empty tomb and believed, but their belief seemed, to me anyway, to have fallen away somewhat until Jesus appeared again in the upper room. And yet, I think perhaps Mary is more like those bulbs planted in the deep soil. Those bulbs that have to rest over the winter, quiet and silent in the ground, much like women were required to be quiet and silent in Mary's day. And so I think it is because Mary was quiet and silent and went back to the tomb and was weeping, because she tarried there, the angels were able to catch her attention. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And then she saw her risen Lord. She saw our risen Lord. She saw our risen Lord because she stopped and she wept. Now wonder, how often do we stop and weep over the death of our Lord Jesus Christ? Or instead, how often do we rush from the joy of the parade of Palm Sunday to the joy of the resurrection on Easter Sunday, letting the poignancy of Maundy Thursday, the sorrow of Good Friday, and the anxious vigil of the Saturday in between pass us by? I know last week, for me anyway, my days had been so hectic that while I tarried a moment on Maundy Thursday, reveling in the beautiful service and music created by and put together by the Reverend Katie Abel, I'm sure some of you are familiar with her. We did a service together at Faith Springs for Maundy Thursday, and it was very, very meaningful to me. So I remembered this morning, and I tried to tarry there in that memory. And then I soaked in the solemnity of our Good Friday service. I tarried there as well. I did that because I wanted to get the full flavor of Holy Week so that when I came here to this sanctuary and to celebrate the resurrection with you, it would be sweet. Now, please be careful not to think that I am judging those who slip from Sunday to Sunday. No, it truly is our natural bent to want to avoid sorrow because we all have sorrows in our own lives and we don't want to be reminded of them. And we also slip past those darker moments of the Holy Week. We slip quickly and inattentively because we are so busy. Life demands so much of us these days. It's very easy to get caught up in it and to forget to pause. And I am too guilty of the same thing. I get so distracted by the tasks and the events of the day that even though I find that prayer in the morning starts my day off on the right foot, by the time I am ready to fall into the bliss of sleep at night, I realize I have not spent a moment alone with God, and it's a shame, and I miss it, and I try to do it then, and guess what? When you take a moment with God, I don't think God really cares what hour of the day you do it, as long as you take a moment. And I am not judging Peter and John and uplifting Mary merely because they are male and she is female. No, we all sometimes compete with one another as if we are in an Olympic race. I know I have done that. I was a lawyer once. You compete. I only suggest that Mary spoke with angels and saw Christ before the rest of the disciples because she lingered to mourn at the tomb. Joy comes in the morning, as the psalmist says. And because we Presbyterians are people of hope, I hope that joy eventually comes in the morning for those of whom Jesus said, "I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold." But it's not for me to judge. It is not for the rest of you to judge. It is for him who now sits on the right hand of the Father, and who intercedes for us. He is the person who is in the judgment seat. And that gives me the greatest hope, because he is the epitome of love. He is the one through love who sacrificed himself for us, gave over his life, and was resurrected so that we may also have hope of resurrection in the final day. Yes, joy comes in the morning, and it is all the sweeter than when we too, like Mary, spend a little time mourning the death of our Lord. The psalm says, "Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes with the morning." Joy comes in the morning, and we celebrate the resurrection of Christ and the promise of the everlasting life for us. Joy comes in the morning. He is risen. He is risen indeed. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen and amen.